to commit to confess the crimes they didn't commit, and ruled by fear, knowing that they were being watched. Several members of the family were tortured, and finally the day came when the whole family was taken to the pit to be killed. So here's some of the Khmer Rouge slogans that gives an idea to what life was like. It's better to kill an innocent person by mistake than spare an enemy by mistake. To destroy you is no loss. To preserve you is no gain. He who protests is an enemy. He who opposes, a corpse. The Angkor, which was what they called themselves, has the many eyes of a pineapple. So if you're accused of being an enemy to the Angkor, then you and your whole family would be killed. There were approximately 2.1 million people that were killed in 2 years and 8 months. Here's some pictures of the killing field. When you walk through there now, it's a place close to Phnom Penh. It's very quiet, almost peaceful, almost beautiful. But bone fragments appear here and there with pieces of clothing that betray its violent past. The entire place is a graveyard. The killing fields was a result of Pol Pot's vision to wipe out all social classes. Anyone who was educated, not a farmer, was put to death. Teachers, doctors, scientists, anybody who wore glasses or had soft hands were killed in the most brutal ways. This is a picture of a tree that they used to bash babies' heads on. So they would hold the babies upside down by their feet and just swing. So the main theme, as you know, is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. Now you might be thinking like me, good? How can these things be good? How can anything about this be good? What about my own abuse? I was born in Japan, moved to Canada when I was 5. My parents became Christians and thus more compassionate. And so when a man in his late 20s broke his leg, my parents invited him to live with us until it healed. Back then, the doctors created full casts, and so he was fully casted on his leg, and he lived with us for about 3 months. And during that time, this young man began encouraging me to come and sit on his lap. And then he started doing other things, violating things. Thankfully, he left our home, and it never happened afterwards, and no one knew. No one talked about it, and I thought it was my shame, my fault. I thought I was bad, and that something I did caused him to do that. I began developing feelings of self-contempt. I didn't like myself, and shame. I wished I was somebody else. It didn't change what I looked like on the outside, but it altered who I thought I was. It altered my identity and my self-worth. I don't remember much about whether I thought I was good or bad before the abuse. In fact, I was a happy child. But after the abuse, I felt a lot of shame, and I believed I was not good. It wasn't actually until I was taking seminary class in 2009, and I chose to read a book called Wounded Heart by Dan Adler as an adult, that I recognized that the abuse was not my fault. There should be nothing that an 8-year-old girl could do that would entice a grown man to do what he did to me. And it began to make me angry because of all the years I struggled with feelings of unworthiness and insecurity. So the main theme, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You think, good? How can anything about that be good? So let's return to Rex's story for a moment. By chance, Rexahim survived. Though he was thrown in the pit with the other members of his family, while they were killing his other members of his family, they missed killing him. And then the killers left to pick up Rex's mother and sisters, and in that time, Rexa managed to get out of the pit. But he watched in horror as they killed the rest of his family. At that time, he was 11 years old, and he made 3 vows. He would either get revenge, he would kill his family's killers, he would become a Buddhist monk, or he would leave Cambodia and never come back. Through a series of events, he managed to escape to Thailand, and therefore he learned about God in a refugee camp. And although initially he wasn't interested in Christianity, he began to pray. And through answered prayer and a continued presence, he began to believe. And then he began to love God. And this is a picture of a refugee camp that he was at. There was 120,000 people there in 1984 in Thailand. Eventually, he was sent to Canada, and he got his Canadian citizenship. He stayed in Canada for about 10 years, got a counseling degree from Providence in Winnipeg. It took about the whole of 10 years for Rexa to be able to feel normal again, to be able to, with God's love poured on in on him. And we could talk about that here, but that's a whole nother long story. But then God asked him to do the unaskable. God asked him to forgive those who killed his family. And then God called him back to Cambodia. He thought, go back to that country that caused him so much pain. He fought with God. But eventually, he returned to his home country. In returning, Rexa managed to find one of the killers that hacked his family to death. But God had worked on Rex's heart, and he was able to forgive him. And that man that you see in the picture is actually the man who killed his father and brothers. Rexa, when he met with him, gave him a chroma, which is a scarf, to put around his neck to say that he forgave him. He gave him a shirt that he's wearing right there to say that he loved him. And then he gave him a Bible to say, this is where the love came from. Then God asked Rexa to start a ministry in the very area in which the people discriminated against him. Rexa created a sports facility where he allows people to play for free. And it has a small library and internet access. And since the sports area is so large, many schools now use it as their gym. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that's what happened here. Rexa learned to love God, and then he listened to God's calling, and all the things that happened to him were used together for good and helped him to create a fulfilling ministry. And you know, that's something that's really impossible by yourself. How can you forgive someone who you watched slaughter your family, and after years of horror and pain? However, because Rexa obeyed, all things really did work together for good. Next slide, honey. He met his wife back in Cambodia, and they have two children, Philos and Sophia. And so if you put the two words together, it's philosophy. Philos, Sophia. And he runs this wonderful ministry that's impacting the community. God can use all things for good. What about my abuse? Can God use that for good? Well, actually, he did. I went to Cambodia the first time in 2008. And there we distributed gift bags filled with school supplies, much like Samaritan's Purse done. And it was there that I learned about girls, sometimes the age of 5, who are used for sex by men. And it could have been those exact children that we were giving gifts to. And then I learned that the United Nations estimated that the total market value of illegal human trafficking was worth $32 billion a year. And I learned about the 700 million people who live in extreme poverty. And I learned about the estimated 21 to 45 million people that are working as slaves today, and how 80% of those people are women and children, and how sexual exploitation accounts for 80% of those cases. And that burned within me. It created a holy indignation, a fire that burned in my soul because of the abuse that I had suffered. And I thought about how those 3 little months changed and affected my life. But what about those who were more severely abused, who were raped starting from the age of 5. All things work together for good for those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose. So what happened to me in the past created a strong call for me for the future. And then we started Work of Your Hand. So the lady in the red t-shirt there is Pastor Evelyn's, Pastor's wife, Evelyn, and the group of sewers that make the bags for Work of Your Hand, and you have some of those bags, so thank you very much for that. We believe that one of the key ways to prevent abuse is to help those people become less vulnerable through employment, and that's very true, especially for those that are extremely poor. The church we work with there is called the House of the Least of These, that's located at the heart of Piatas, the outskirts of the garbage dump of Manila. Manila has the highest population density in any major city around the world. 43,000 people per square kilometer is their density, if you could imagine that. I think Canada has 2. Well, that's Canada, but it has 2. So you can imagine how much garbage that produces. They say that there are 400,000 people living in the Piatas area, and it's a dangerous area. known for murders, drinking, drug addiction, gambling, and all types of abuse. In fact, lots of Filipinos don't go there. They've never been there because they're scared of it. However, this little church is a small beacon of light. It has planted two other church plants, supports a small preschool of approximately 100 children, and of course, runs a small livelihood of making juice pack products. Last year, Work of Your Hand was able to purchase about 2,000 bags from orders, 1,000 from this little church and 1,000 from somewhere else. And what a blessing. So thank you so much. This church provided work for a whole month for 17 people. Six of them were sewers, some of them were juice cleaners. There was a school caretaker because that's where the juice packs came from. There's a couple extra that were doing running around doing things. So thank you. Thank you for blessing the poor. The girl in this picture is named Liesl, and she worked mostly on making the lining of the badges. So all the EC, or the 2006 badges, she sewed all of those. She lives in the garbage dump area of Manila, and she was really thankful because the earnings helped her daughter finish college. And she's very active in her church, and she leads a women's Bible study every Saturday. Here's pictures of some of the sewers. Because of the work we provided, parents could provide afford school fees for their children, payment for medication, and other basic needs. They could provide for their own families. Thank you. Also in the Philippines, we work with Samaritana. Samaritana is a Christian organization committed to sharing out the gospel among Filipino women caught in prostitution. It is believed that there are anywhere from 450 to 800,000 women trafficked and prostituted within the Philippines. In addition, there's about 100,000 children that are involved and victimized by prostitution there, some as young as 11. God called a lady named Thelma to go and help these ladies. So she began by just walking the streets of Commonwealth Avenue, where a lot of the ladies would walk, and she began talking to the girls and inviting them to come participate in Samaritana. She would befriend the pimps, offering them free medical services like dentists, and that's how she was able to talk to the girls. And she felt like God was telling her to create this Christian organization. They now have a beautiful building where the girls come together for healing and restoration. They hold counseling classes, cooking classes, and livelihood projects like making jewelry. So it's like the ones we have, and it's a lot of pearls. I've been asking for a lot of pearls because they have a lot of real beautiful pearls there. You know, the jewelry is very symbolic to me, pieces that were all broken and put back together to make a beautiful creation and worn for their beauty, just like the women that were broken and that are now put back together into more people more beautiful than they were. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who have been called according to his purpose. Yes. All things work together for good when we listen to God's calling. Our Beda products from Bandung in Indonesia. It's a project run by CNMA missionaries again, Garth and Monica Friesen. This organization is committed to helping families by empowering the needy men and women to provide for themselves by providing training, design assistance, marketing, and life skills development. We also work in Laos. Laos is a country affected by war and drugs. For 9 years, from 1964 to 1973, because of the Vietnam War, the U.S. dropped $7.2 billion worth of bombs on Laos. Or they say that is $2 million a day of bombs, every day for 9 years. It was more bombs than was dropped on the entire World War II, during the entire World War II. When the war ended, the U.S. pulled out, they lost, and they left the Hmong people there, who were supporting the U.S., they left them stranded. The Hmong people were marginalized against, allowed no dignified work. They tried to escape. When they couldn't, they had to eat, so they went on to grow heroin. And by 1990, Laos was part of the largest growing illicit production of opium in the world, an area called the Golden Triangle. And it was Thailand, Myanmar, and Laos. That's when Kama Crafts began. They talk about how difficult it was working as a Christian organization in a communist country. And maybe some of you would know about that here, or your parents would, about how Christian organizations might work in a place like China. But this was Laos. Each week, Kama Crafts would leave the city to the surrounding villages to distribute and collect handiwork for the poor. Unfortunately, permission papers were needed any time they left the city, and so they would have to ask the city and the provincial officers, who then insisted on coming with them to ensure that proper procedures were followed and the gospel would not be spread. The staff was always nervous because any wrong move or assumption could close the organization. Villages that they went to, it took a whole day to go to, and so of course that meant that staying overnight, and the city and the provincial officials had all expenses paid. It's a miracle that organization survived because their first sale occurred 2 years after they started. So thank you for your support in purchasing products of them for them now. They say that 20% of all Hmong people living in Laos are believers because of the work of Comma Cross. And this is in a communist country. All things work together for good for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. Yes, all things work together for good when we listen to God's calling. This year we have some new apron designs. So they're really, I don't know, aren't they cute? Phong Thong Mulberries. They sell silk scarves, and they also went through difficulty. This is Komali Shandavang, who founded this organization. She also fled from bombs from village to village during those 9 years of bombing. But she remained in Laos, and she began a cooperative that started making silk scarves. Her mom knew how to make silk, and so her mom taught her. And then she stayed, and she became a little bit well-known in her government, and in fact was asked to make the military little sashes. Eventually, she began a silk farm in the northern part of Laos, and she began doing development work with the help of a Christian organization, Comic Services. Comic Services was actually able to get into Laos through her help. But as her business grew and grew more successful, and she began working more and more closely with this Christian organization, she too began to believe in God and love God, and she became a believer. And then she began to feel called to the poor, to help them around her. And so she did that by inviting them to come to her silk farms and teaching them the skill of making silk. And she would send them back to their own villages with their own mulberry bushes, their own silkworms. And if the silk was of good quality, she offered to purchase their silk. It was risky what she did, teaching them her skill, because maybe they could take over. But she did just that. All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. And because she was obedient and responded to God's call on her life to help the poor around her, she was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2005 for her contribution to strengthening the position of women by giving them dependable income and thus improving the lives of their children. So what are Darren and I doing? Well, you know, we were called to Cambodia, and so we went. Moved there January 2015. One way we've created dignified work is through the greeting card livelihood program that we called Project 52. The vision was to create consistent work for the impoverished for 52 weeks of the year by having them create 100 cards a week. And because of the talented and skilled artisans in Canada, actually, in the first year there was 3,200 prepared cards that were then taken to Cambodia so that they could be assembled to create work in Cambodia for the poor there. So it created 32 weeks of work. So the second year, this past year, those Christian Khmer people who were making the cards were then taught how to design and prepare the cards themselves so that they could take leadership roles and then take those prepared cards and packs to those more impoverished than themselves. So now there's two groups in Cambodia. There's those who prepare the cards and those who assemble the cards. And those who prepare the cards are Christian leaders who want to use the greeting card livelihood as a ministry to create work for the poor and to be able to spread the gospel. Those who assemble cards are not believers. They're poor and they're assembling cards for income. Each card session begins with giving a little bit of food, like some bread, and then a short devotional by each Cambodian leader. By the way, all card sessions start with a devotional, whether they're preparing or assembling. Then the ladies work on to assemble the cards, 100 cards, by gluing all the pieces together. And the cards, next slide, are purchased by work of your hand and then sent to Canada, where we sell them to caring and compassionate people who want to make a difference in third world countries. Please consider purchasing the cards. It'll help continue this ministry. And you can see the names on the back of them, because for us, it's not really about buying and selling. It's not really about product. It's about people. It's always been about people. This is Tia. Her mother died when she was 14 years old, and the following year her father found a new wife and left the family. Left her and her younger brother and her sister with her, and she lost hope. She only has about grade 2 education, and so she started scavenging in the nearby garbage dump. Later she married, and this past August, actually, she gave birth to a baby boy, girl. And so she has two children. She is one of the hard workers and more productive in assembling greeting cards. She doesn't have a bicycle. She doesn't have a phone. She doesn't do anything, so she never leaves her village. This is Pong. She's 66 years old. She has 7 children, 2 boys and 5 girls. She was born in the village next to the garbage, but during the Pol Pot time, she, along with all the other Khmer people, were sent to the fields to work. But she is uneducated, so she was no threat to the Khmer people, and they did not kill her. She was what was called one of the old liberated people. Pong was taken from her hometown to her husband's. She lived there for 10 years after the Pol Pot regime was over. But then her house burnt down because her husband was trying to get rid of mosquitoes with using smoke. And the house caught on fire too. And so everything they owned was destroyed. Then her husband contracted malaria while she was pregnant with her 7th child. And he died. So she moved back to her hometown with nothing but 7 small kids. This is Lynn. She's the 2nd youngest of Pons, and she's 26 years old, and she's married and has 2 children. Lynn went to school for 2 years, but she still doesn't know how to read or write, and had to stop because she had no money. Instead, she helped her mother, working in the fields with rice or taking care of water buffaloes. Then at the age of 13, she was sent to work as house helper for different places, and she got paid $5 a month. Basically, they gave her food and shelter, but she really didn't earn very much. She was allowed to come home on weekends, though, and she did this for about 10 years. When she was 20, she got married. She gave birth at 21 to her 4-year-old son, and then she found it really hard to be away from family that much. When we met Lynn, she was scavenging in the garbage, so that's her right there, picking out food from the garbages. So what she was doing is she was opening up all the bags and picking out all the rotten food that was in the garbages and putting them into another bag. So she had just a bag of rotten food, and she was collecting that as pig feed. So she would do that all day, and in doing that, it made about 75 cents. Could you imagine the stink and the smell of all that and in that heat? We told her about the greeting card livelihood, and she was really interested. And in fact, she was so interested that she allowed us to assemble greeting cards in her house, on the ground floor of her house once a week, and organize it so that other women can also be part of this livelihood too. She's our main connection, and she's very open to hearing the gospel each time the card session starts. We also found some original Cambodian art artists. So this is Chai. He's actually the younger brother to one of our card makers from last year. And we've always wanted to represent Cambodian art, so we were so happy we found him. He also grew up in a very poor family. They couldn't afford to send him to school, so he lived in a dorm. Some of the schools had dorms. It was an NGO, and the NGO discovered that he had artistic abilities, and so they sent him to an art school from the ages of 15 to 18. And then, because he was so good, he was actually asked to produce artwork to raise funds for the dorm. He's finished high school. But even in finishing high school, he works for a hotel and earns 55 cents an hour. So he's really happy to be making paintings for cards for us. His dream one day is to become an architect. I'd just like to say that I love working with the Cambodian people, whether it's the Christian leaders and giving devotions to them, or whether it's watching and laughing with the Khmer ladies that are working in the garbage dump and having them laugh at my Khmer, because they do. It's incredibly purposeful and filled with passion. So if God is calling you to go and do something, go, because it is really worth it. I love my life. It is amazingly meaningful. Now I'll let Darren talk about the rest of our plans.
As Minako said, we are going to be, or we have been in Cambodia since 2015. We felt called to leave Canada and leave work of your hand here in the hands of some staff, capable people, but to go and to be on the ground and to create more opportunities overseas. So we had a vision that God gave us to create vocational training opportunities. Our goal is to infuse biblical training and teaching with vocational skills so that people can become a servant leader in the various marketplaces of life that they find themselves in. And so the way that we're planning to do this is this picture with a few extra things on it kind of summarizes how we are planning to doing this right now. There are three bubbles, and the intersection of those three bubbles represents basically a place of transformation. The three bubbles, in case you can't read them, the blue bubble is skills training. We're focused on bringing skills and expertise to train up Cambodian people, Cambodian leaders, the poor, etc., so that they can in turn continue to develop and train others. Married with that is training at the same time on spiritual formation. We're helping to teach things like Alpha and other courses which are introducing people to God, who Jesus is, what his plans and purposes are for their lives. And thirdly, the community development bubble at the top is where we hope to equip people to also be able to impact their communities. We work in Cambodia with the KEC, or the Khmer Evangelical Church, which is the CNMA in Cambodia. They have been there since 1923. They are about 200 churches strong, but the churches are all very poor, most of them in rural communities, very small. And the pastors are all poor. They have to be bivocational. What happens in the church is the youth will get excited about coming into ministry. They'll get married in the church, and they'll start to have families, and then they'll realize that the church cannot support them. And then they have to, in many cases, leave the church because the church just cannot support them financially. And so, as a result, the church is caught in this situation of how do we continue to support our churches and develop the communities that these churches are in. And so we are partnered with the Khmer churches to begin to help equip the pastors to be able to support themselves through agricultural projects or animal husbandry or things along those lines, where they can then use that platform of support to begin to reach out into their community to reach those who maybe are uneducated, who will never get a chance to go to school because they just do not have the financial means to do so, and begin to educate them, teach them skills and abilities so that they don't end up having to transfer to some of the big cities to be able to find work, but can instead develop work in their own communities. And so our focus is on working with the Cambodian church leadership to reach and to begin to minister to the poor. This past 2 years, these are the things we've been involved in, and Monaco has touched upon the handicraft project of the card making, but we've also been involved in a couple of other things, in automotive services. You may remember last year we talked about how automotive services are corrupt in Cambodia. They're corrupt everywhere around the world, but in Cambodia they're especially bad. If you take your vehicle in, you have to sit possibly for several days with your vehicle for risk of parts being stripped off and bad parts being put into your vehicle. There's just no trust and integrity in the industry. So we are beginning to partner with an organization that is bringing training into the Cambodian context, where they will begin to not only teach automotive services, but they'll begin to teach about Jesus and why Jesus wants to do what he wants to do in our lives. And so we're excited about the future of that. We're also involved in the sewing program. This is a picture of one of the classrooms, one of the five classrooms that we have secured the use of. This particular room is used for sewing, and this is one of the our key partner's wife. Her name is Han. She teaches sewing classes, but she introduces sewing to rural ladies who come from their rural communities into our city, and she spends time teaching them. But they're all very poor. They don't have enough money with them to usually pay for them to be there. So they have to do various undignified things to earn an income. We have been able to partner with them over the past 2 years to help them and invite them to make greeting cards while they're also learning about sewing. So when they go back to their communities, they're not only healthy and fed, but they also have the opportunity to start a new business when they return. And we're looking to expand this sewing business in the future. Alpha. Most of you have heard about Alpha. Alpha training that we receive here in Canada has not been available up until recently in Cambodia. We decided we were going to do a pilot and invite 10 churches and 30 church leaders to come and learn about Alpha. The Alpha for Youth has been converted into the Khmer language. So we did a bilingual training session to teach these leaders. But when we took attendance, we figured out that instead of the 10, we had 17 churches represented and 40 people showed up instead of the 30. And that's okay in Cambodian culture. People come, you welcome everybody. But it turns out there were a number of churches that didn't come. They thought they could come or wanted to come, but hadn't heard about it soon enough, etc. So there's an eagerness to learn more about Alpha and to see this grow. And in this network of 200 churches, we are going to be able to spread the gospel through the Alpha program through 200 churches in Cambodia. So this is very exciting for us. The next 2 years, these are the programs that we're going to be focused on. We take it for granted things like technology that deliver to us the internet and make things available to us. The internet is full of wonderful information, things we can learn from, medicine, medical procedures, things that might help us in our day-to-day life, but usually only if you can read English. So the big problem in Cambodia is most people only speak and read Khmer, which is not very useful outside of anywhere but Cambodia. So we are hoping to introduce language classes that will begin to focus on other languages that will support the Khmer people reaching out to the visitors that are coming, but to also reach out to the people and the information that's available for them to use. And you can see listed here other training that we're going to embark on over the next 2 years to develop these programs. We want to be more intentional about what we're doing in terms of inviting people. Monaco and I cannot possibly do all of these training programs and develop these this vocational center. So we need help from people like yourselves. This year, coming up in 2017, we will have a couple who are coming to stay with us for 4 weeks to teach sewing and electricity and put in a computer network. We will have another team that will come and do Alpha training and do more card design and teach more people. And we have another team, a group of students from a Bible college that are coming to help do some work in the church and to help bless the church and the community that we live in. And we want more people to come with your gifts, talents, and skills. But we also want help and investment from your prayers. We don't want to do anything unless God is involved and engaged in what we're doing. And so we're inviting people to pray for us, to give some of their time and dialogue with us about opportunities that they may be able to come and serve in. We are welcoming short-term teams, and we are inviting people to come on internships to come and serve for periods of time. If you're interested in doing something like this and starting a dialogue with us, please email us at this email address or talk to us today, and we would love to talk with you further about some of these things. As I mentioned, we don't want to do anything unless God is involved. And so we try to represent our ministry with open hands. We want God to put the things into our hands that he wants us to be working on. He's already at work. We just need to want to understand what he is doing and how we can come alongside. But we also want God to take things out of our hands. If there are ideas or if there are things that will not be profitable from a kingdom perspective, we want him to take those things out of our hands. And so we stand in a position of open hands so that he can give and take. And so with that, we are praying that God will show us how the Cambodian leadership of the church can be taught and equipped to be able to reach the poor and begin to bring more and more light to Cambodia. Just for your information, Cambodia is a Buddhist country. They're 96% Buddhist. There are more people who know Islam and are the Muslim faith in Cambodia than there are Christians. And so the percentage of Christians is very small. It's a country of 15 million people, but still very much in need of hearing the good news. If you are interested in continuing to travel with us and journey with us, you can sign up for a newsletter at this location. You can also follow us on Facebook, where we are posting lots daily. And not just us, but our friends who are discovering technology and Facebook, they are posting all about their lives, etc. So you can see and live out Cambodian life vicariously through our Facebook accounts. But we would love to have you journey with us, so please consider doing so. And once again, we would like to say thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for supporting our ministry. Thank you for considering coming to work with us in the future. May God bless this church and all of the people in it. Thank you.